Please come on back. We're in session. We have on the screen success. We don't have the staff here, but we got the two resolutions there, although you can't see them both. Michelle.
Okay.
Establishing annual salary. This is the intention of Kathy with a second by Leslin, as I understand. Establishing annual salary for the position of sheriff for the years 2011 to 2014. And the second one is establishing annual salary for the position of county clerk for the same years. And the whereas was not changed at all. But then the first resolve takes in the first one just the sheriff's salary. And the second resolve, also just the sheriff's salary. And Kathy is handing out copies right now. What? Okay.
Thank you very much.
So, can everybody...
Thank you. Keep me out of trouble here.
So it is... The motion on the floor is to separate the Stein motion into these two motions. Is there any discussion? Are we ready to vote on that? A lot of people aren't here. I don't know.
It's a quorum.
Right, it's a quorum. All right, motion is to separate. If there's no other discussion, all in favor of separating the motion into these two, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Opposed? 1, 2, 3. That passes 8-3. The motions are separated. All right, motions are separated. Okay. Then we have on the top of the screen the position of sheriff. Then that is the first one we will discuss.
I thought we were discussing clerk first.
It doesn't make a difference. Let's discuss clerk first. Okay. All right. Position of county clerk, Kathy.
I appreciate the separating. The quibble I have with this is I believe, and some of us that are aware of the implications of contract negotiations, that even with the, in parentheses, if any, saying that the percentage salary increase shall be the same as the percentage increase for the management group is something that I would prefer and not to have in the resolution, and I would be reluctant to include that in the resolution. I believe that directly tying this salary on this resolution to management salaries is something that should be avoided. So I would prefer not to do that and to take out the second resolve.
And I have a question. What do you propose would happen in the subsequent 3 years?
And a wall?
It's a good question. I believe that this would be a good time to refer y'all to salary percentage increase, county clerk, sheriff management, 1998 to 2010. There are some examples of templates we could use and insert a variety of different numbers, and some, like Peter, might want and Pat, to start with a baseline of zero, and others might prefer something that was equivalent to, say, cost of living. I think it's just a better practice to keep these independent, and I believe that in the long run it serves the public and our staff well to do this.
Jim?
If, in fact, Kathy's resolution gets approved for years 2, 3, and 4, then I would suggest that it be 2% a year for year 2, 3, and 4.
Peter?
I think I'm opposed to what Kathy wants to do. I think that there's always a certain arbitrariness when you set salaries that are out someplace by themselves, where you don't, not comparing them to something. It's one thing we could do is to compare them to other sheriffs every year. That's a tremendous, and clerks, that's quite a burden to make that decision And it's very difficult now to make those comparisons because we don't know what those other people are going to do in the out years 2, 3, and 4. So I think you have to search to find some kind of a reasonable standard to tie things to. And it seems to me that the sheriff and the clerk are department heads, and therefore, if you decide that the current salary is correct at this point, then you say, well, we ought to increase them at the same rate that we increase the comparable jobs in the county. It's not perfect, of course, because the clerk and the sheriff are elected, but they're the closest thing that we can tie them to are the other department heads.
I don't see any motion. I don't hear any amendment to this resolution yet. So, Kathy?
Just want to point out in the supporting document where it talks about county clerks, since that's the resolution that we're referring to. If you look at the surrounding counties, or at least the other counties that have equivalent population, you'll see that the current county clerk salary falls below the median. And I believe that if you want to avoid a certain arbitrariness, this is certainly one way of measuring, and I agree with Peter that arbitrariness is to be avoided. So I just direct your attention to that, and with regard to this particular motion, I believe that Tompkins County falls below the median and would support some sort of an increase. Whether people want to wait a couple of years for the increase or not, I believe is up to the democracy and the open government of the floor right now to decide.
Pam, did you have your hand up?
Yes, I did. I frankly would very much like to give the clerk an increase, as I would like to give the sheriff an increase, but I'm not going to vote for an increase for next year. I'm just not going to do that. And if there's some interest in trying to provide some increase in future years, I would consider that. But under the circumstances, I think that when we are in the position where we are considering laying people off, when we are in such tough economic times, I think that it is not I think it is a demoralizer for our employees if they see salary increases being offered in some cases and jobs being eliminated in others. I frankly could not support anything like that.
Mike, and then Frank.
I just would like to understand where we are. Jim made a motion, and I assume this is an amendment that we're talking about.
I don't think there's been a motion to amend.
We have no motion
on the floor.
So, that's not Jim's motion.
Jim's motion is still on the floor.
That's right.
Peter made an amendment. This amended Peter's amendment. So these two are amendments to Jim's motion.
That's right.
So we still have to vote on these to amend their main motion, if in fact that's what the legislature wants to do. And then you'd have, then you'd have to vote to approve it.
Okay.
Because I'd like to move my amendment at some point, but I don't think it's to that point yet.
Okay. By amendment, did you mean Jim's mention of 2%? I don't think
No, I'm talking Jim moved originally as chair of the budget committee the original resolution.
Right.
And then Peter moved an amendment with his resolution.
Okay. We have two separate resolutions on the floor now. Jonathan, we moved to separate, and now we're considering the clerk.
Right, but there's still amendments to the original motion.
Correct.
Okay.
There's just one amendment to the original motion, so there's room for a second amendment now. Not that I want one.
Yeah, one could make a second amendment to these. I'm not sure that would be the wisest thing. It may be easier procedurally to vote on these and then start over.
I'd love to see if there's
point of order.
I'd love to see if there's support for what's on here, and I don't hear any amendment to this yet. Peter, and then
I have a point of order here.
Yes.
As I see where we are, is Jim made a motion having to do with the clerk, is that right? The first motion you made, was it have to do with the clerk or the sheriff?
The clerk.
It was the clerk.
It was the clerk, okay. Then I made a substitute motion, which said, no, let's do this with the clerk and the sheriff. And then at some point we would have voted whether we wanted to consider that motion to put the clerk and the sheriff together as opposed to what Jim wanted to do with just the clerk, okay? We're not at that point now. Then there was a motion to separate my motion into two. So now we have to decide what the motion I made is. And the way we're going to decide that is by first either rejecting or either by rejecting the county clerk part or accepting it, or then rejecting then the sheriff part or accepting it. And then after making those two votes, we'll have one thing to put up against Jim's motion having to do with the clerk. What I think we ought to do is to simply, we're still perfecting the substitute motion that I made. And the way we're going to perfect it, I think, is to decide which, if any, of these two things we want to keep to contest with Jim's original motion. So I think we just ought to go through these things, vote them up or down, and then test them against Jim's original motion having to do with the clerk.
Jonathan, isn't it true if we vote, if eight people accept this, at least eight people accept this, then this is the action of the board?
It becomes then the main motion.
Yes. And then we would vote on that.
And then we would vote.
Frank, I missed you before.
That's,
I'm sorry.
That's okay. I think we're on the same page. No pun intended. What's on the floor right now is the county clerk's resolution, which is essentially the county clerk portion of Peter's proposed amendment or proposed resolution. If we vote this up or down, it takes the place of what Jim's original one was on page 9
right.
of your agenda. My question is, and I want to go back to something Pam said or asked. If we vote, did I understand you to say that you would not support, you would support the resolve in the county clerk's, the proposed county clerk's amendment to go to the, to stay at the $69,691, which is the 2010 value, but you would not support the second resolve, which is a salary increase that is akin to whatever the management group would get. Is that what I understood you to say?
No, I would support the second resolve too.
As well.
Case.
That is
yeah.
based on whatever happens in the future
exactly.
to the management group.
Right.
So you're okay with this. Mm-hmm. Thank you. That's all I wanted to know.
Jim.
What if after 2 years the legislature gives a retroactive raise to the management in 2011 at the middle of 2012?
I don't think we can deal with the questions in front of us. Never mind hypotheticals.
So a resolution says shall remain at the 2010 value, but then 12, you're going to say management
should go with the management group. It will go with the management group, and legislature, in their ultimate wisdom, says, oh well, we'll take care of 2011 at the same time. So does that make that resolution moot or what?
I think not.
All right. Is there any other discussion?
Yeah.
Frank.
Follow up on that, Jim. Go back to your, if this change survives, your original resolution, or your original motion, is to tie the scheduled increases for the subsequent years to the increases in the management group. So if
right.
that's, if what you just asked about them being retroactive, that would be true in your proposal as well.
Yeah, if we did it, if whatever happened.
My reading is that if it's retroactive, but for 2010, for 2011, they are not tied to management. According to this, they are tied to equals the 2010 salary. So that does not affect the 2011 salary.
our hypotheticals are getting a little far out there.
Yeah. Say again.
Our hypotheticals are getting a little far out there. I mean, we can hardly make it through 2010, and to talk about our giving a retroactive raise in 2011 or 2012, it just seems unrealistic.
I think it's very clear. The 2011 salary will be the same as the 2010 if this passes. I'd like to have a vote on this. Are we ready to vote?
Yeah.
All in favor of this as the accepting this amendment to the main motion, please raise your hand.
Wait a second. Did we just clarify
yes.
whether we are have the two positions now together or separate?
No, they're separate.
Separate. The county clerk.
I voted while you and I were out of the room, Carol. We were not. What our constituents were not represented.
We had more than a quorum, and we voted. It was 8-16 when we started.
That's okay.
Again.
We understand.
Okay. All in favor of the position of county clerk, as you see on the screen, becoming the main motion, please raise your hand.
Aye.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Opposed? I hope it's 3. 2. 1, 2. Okay. That passes 12-2. Mike.
I think now is the proper time, hopefully, for me to make my motion.
I think this is now.
My amendment?
No.
Why not?
Just on the clerk's position.
We have the
original.
Jim's original motion was about the clerk's salary.
I want to move it on the clerk.
Let me finish. Jim's original motion was the clerk's salary. We've now just substituted this for the motion on the clerk's salary. We will get to the sheriff. So if your amendment is on the clerk's salary...
That's right.
Go ahead.
I will move from the substitute resolution for consideration, Robertson, resolution E, the schedule there as the amendment for the clerk, which means no salary increase in 2011. The change to the labor grade Q based on the review of the duties of the department head in 2012, and management group increases, if there are any, in 2013 and 2014.
Jim, is that a second?
I'll second.
All right. Has everybody found it? Leslin?
No, I have not. Is this what is behind Jim's in the packet on page
yes.
10?
Well, yeah,
see Robinson's name anywhere.
Yeah, my name wasn't on it there, but it's on there. In
not Robinson, Robinson.
In the stapled package that you got in your folder,
mm-hmm.
It should be the second piece.
Packet page 10.
No, in the unpaginated packet that was on your desk at the beginning of the meeting.
I don't have the unpaginated.
Yeah, but Martha, I happen to think that it is the same thing
Thank
as
you.
Packet page.
Yeah, it is. It is. And she said it's the same thing.
No, I lost it. Oh, it is? Is it printed on
the screen?
Yeah.
Is that what's
nope.
on the screen, Michelle?
Nope. Here it is.
It's pretty blurry.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Okay.
But you got it, Leslin?
Yes.
Okay. The clerk. Okay, you've just pasted that in. If anybody can see that, they're better than I am. Kathy, did you have your hand up?
Okay, I've got it, and I just want to clarify. What Mike just moved is all of that that's on this page, the entire resolve. In other words, and just bear with me here, in 2012, the base should be brought to the level of labor grade Q, and then it articulates how the schedule as follows will be during the four-year period. Is that what he's moving?
This one? Yes.
Okay. Can I just make a comment and say, for me, it's problematic tying it to a labor grade. And again, although I can understand the need to be more flexible with this particular job description and job duties, tying it to the scheduled increases for the management group, for me, is a bit problematic.
Further discussion? Leslin?
And am I reading 2011 right? That it's what it is currently plus.
Okay. 2011 is what it is currently, period.
No.
So what that pays
is. Same as 2010.
There's a plus.
Hmm?
Plus whatever increase the management group has received. So it adds something else to it.
No, that's not right.
Okay. That's what I'm asking.
Oh, wait a minute.
Oh, yeah, that doesn't look right. Yeah.
No, that's not what I'm moving it. 2011 should be the same as
69,691.
Yeah,
now it is.
Thank you, Leslie, for noticing that.
It was trying to point out.
All right. Okay, are we all set? So the 2011 is the same as 2010, and then there is a bump or matching it to labor grade Q in the next year. Brian?
I don't have the, I did have, but I don't anymore, the grade. What is a Q and what positions is it? Basically, like positions?
Jim,
in
do
terms
you
of management?
In your original resolution, I think you, for the back of it, you said that was the same as the clerk of the legislature.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Right. And I don't have the document with me that has all the people.
Wait, keep going. I used to have it. But I guess my question is,
why
are we to agree that that's where we feel they should be anyway? By this?
That's the proposal.
That's what that says.
That's the proposal. That's what that says, yes.
Okay.
Pat?
I'm reading this. Basically, then we would be, instead of bumping up the salaries in the first year, as was proposed before, this would put the bump up into the second year. And if I'm correct about that, I find it difficult to imagine that our financial situation is going to be so much improved by 2012 that the justification for doing this would be any better at that time than it will be for next year. I don't have any question but what at some point down the road we ought to take a look at equity in these positions. But it just seems to me that given the economic situation the way it is, and the way it probably will be for the next few years at least, I can't support bumping up these positions.
Further, is there any other discussion? Frank?
I want to go back to Brian's question just for clarification.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Frank. Now I skipped Dooley. Sorry.
Well, let Frank go, but don't
right, go
skip
ahead.
Me next.
All right, Dooley, you're next. Sorry.
In the resolve, it says that in 2012, the base shall be brought to the level of labor grade Q at that time. Are we assuming that the base for labor grade 2 is 71,265?
No, that's the max.
That's the max in labor grade 2? I'm sorry, in labor grade Q, that's the max?
Right, Captain? Labor grade Q, 71,265 is the max in that labor grade.
Yes.
Right. Because you start out at work rate and then you move to the
work
rate.
So does that assume that in 2012 that will drop if that's the max in that and not the base? Read what's in the resolve, Jim.
Well, the max, we only have two. We have the provisional rate and the working rate, right? There are only two rates.
Well, what are we considering then in the wording right after the word 2012? What are we considering the base?
I think he means the salary shall be brought. I don't think he means the base.
Well, we need. Can somebody clarify that?
All right, let me say, I wrote this and I meant it as a compromise, and in fact I'm not going to support it, but I was proposing it as a compromise so there was something on paper when the packets went out earlier. But my intention was not that the base was, but that the salary should be brought to the level of labor grade Q. And I'm really puzzled about in 2011 how that phrase plus whatever the increase the management group has received got in there for 2011. I did not mean that. So, okay. So, is it all right, Mike, if the word salary goes in there? All right. Now, Kathy, you were saying something about level, and I don't see that.
The first resolve, does the word value change to level? Is that accepted as friendly?
In this one, it says level. And the other one, it was value. This one, and the
value
third line.
Value is taken
of,
out.
Well,
Peter, you accepted level as friendly.
Right, level is friendly. Okay.
Good catch.
All right, so... So that was Dooley. Did you finish?
I didn't say
you
anything.
Didn't start. Thank you. I guess I really need to get some dinner before these meetings. Okay, Dooley, go ahead.
These are elective positions, the clerk and the sheriff. I'll try to just talk about the clerk, but I think of them together. And there are no formal written job descriptions for these positions, although you can make a list of the things that they have to do. And some of them are done by the elected officials, and some of them are done by their immediate high-level employees under them. But there are no formal job descriptions, and the only qualification you need for these positions is that you're electable. If these positions ever become recognized in the future as the professional positions that they, in my view, they can and should be, then the job descriptions will be written for them in our job description manner, and the labor grades analysis will be applied to those job descriptions. So I'm very troubled by tying any of them to a labor grade at this point in time. The positions are in our charter, and they're part of the government, but we get to set the salaries, and they don't necessarily have to be rated according to the other department heads.
Jim and then Peter.
I'm not finished.
Sorry.
What I looked at to see what reasonable salaries would be was not trying to apply the labor grade standards. Anita was asked to do that 8 years ago. She rated them exactly the same way then as she does now, and that's fine, but that's not what I want to do. I looked at the six contiguous counties to see what salaries the clerk and the sheriff got there, and I averaged them. And in both cases, that comes out less than our clerk or sheriff gets. Then I looked at the populations of similar counties on the list of counties we were provided, and I assume that our county has 100,000 population, and I looked at counties where the populations ranged from 75,000 to 125,000, and I saw what the salaries were paid to clerk and sheriff in those counties, and those came out a higher number than in contiguous counties. But comparing us to contiguous counties for job purposes or to counties of similar population size, both of them made sense to me. So then I took those two figures and I averaged them, and it came out that our sheriff was being paid more than that figure now, and our clerk was being paid slightly less than the figure. I see no need to bump either salary at this point in time, and I would oppose Mike's amendment, and I would oppose any bumps during this four-year term, because I don't think it's necessary. That's the end of me. Yeah.
Jim,
well, as long as we're going down the path, when I look at all the comparisons that Dooley talked about, I looked at Tompkins County and Ontario County, which we've always been compared to by the former county administrator and other people. We always tend to compare ourselves with them. They're 105 population. They pay the sheriff 96,000. They're under sheriff 91,000. They have a college. They have industrial capabilities. They have a solid waste area. It's a very similar. They have a lake. It's a very similar county to us. One of the primary reasons, even though I know we're only talking about the clerk, I still have some problem with the fact that a subordinate makes more money than the leader of the organization. That's a problem for me. The difference between a department head and an elected official who acts as a department head is that when a department head who's an elected official leaves, they walk out the door with the ability to be in the retirement system and be involved in the health care system that we have. They get no comp time. They have no payout for sick days because they don't have sick days. They don't have overtime. Those are the kind of thing, the major difference in that when we actually rule, when HR looked at the job of the sheriff in this county, given the things they do, they actually fell in the range of a $94,000 salary, which is a department head salary. And I'm unable to say what group that was, but that's where they fell. What I brought was not $94,000. What I brought was an increase plus $1,000 that put them ahead of the subordinate according to the labor grade the subordinate is in. Not this particular one, anyone who would be an undersheriff.
I'm going to ask, I have a feeling people have made up their minds on this. So if there's anything new and compelling that must be said, Dooley?
Well, Jim raised something new, so I would like to address the new piece he brought up, which has to do with whether it ever is acceptable to have a supervisor.
This a point
a
of order. That's
head.
Completely out of. We're not talking about the sheriff. We're talking about the.
Let her just finish it, Dooley, quickly.
Well, it's because Jim brought it up that I
quickly, please.
It. We have other instances in the county where the head of a department is paid less than someone that department head supervises. It's been true in the sheriff's department forever. And since Peter's been in office, the undersheriff has always been a more credentialed police person and has been paid more than the sheriff, and it hasn't ever been a problem that Peter has ever reported. We have it happen in our medical positions where department heads supervise psychiatrists and medical doctors who get paid a lot more. So it's not a dispositive argument for me at all. And Brian, the other people who have the same salary as is being proposed for the clerk are our legislative clerk and the two commissioners of elections. Those are the three positions that get paid. That's it.
All right, we're ready to vote on what's on the screen. Amendment by Mike. All in favor of this amendment, please raise your hand. One, two, three. Opposed? One, two, three.
Can I be recorded as a yes, please? I'm sorry.
Oh, right, let's do this again. All right, all in favor of this amendment, raise your hand. One, two.
Mike's
amendment.
I'm sorry.
One, two, three, four, five. Opposed? One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine. That fails from 5-9. All right, so what is on the floor is the position of county clerk as moved by Peter.
Right. And point of order, I think we should now do the sheriff part.
No, let's vote
now,
on this
can
first.
Can we finish
please?
One thing first? What's on the floor is the county clerk resolution.
But wait a second. What happens if this thing wins? Then what happens to Jim's motion?
Jim's motion has already been his vote has already been replaced.
This is now. Excuse me. The motion that is on the floor is the position of county clerk that for the 2010 value will be the same as 2011 will be the same as 2010, and that for 2012, 13, and 14 it will ride with management if there's any increase there. That's what's on the floor.
It's not 71,265.
Yeah. Kathy, Michelle, that should go away.
Yeah.
All right, would you take value out? I think level was accepted. I think we've heard all the arguments. Is there anything that needs to be said before we vote on this?
I'm just going to say I'm not going to vote for this. It's ridiculous. That's all. I mean, it's totally ridiculous.
Okay. This is now the main motion. We need a roll call on this. All right, Kathy?
Ms. Pryor?
Yes.
Mr. Robinson?
Yes.
Mr. Stein?
Yes.
Mr. Burbank?
Yes.
Ms. Chalk?
Yes.
Mr. Dennis?
No.
Ms. Herrera?
Yes.
Ms. Kiefer?
Yes.
Mr. Lane?
Yes.
Ms. McAsey?
Yes.
Mrs. McBean Claiborne?
No.
Mr. McKenna?
Yes.
Mr. Proto?
Yes.
Ms. Robertson?
Yes.
Twelve ayes, 2 noes.
That passes 12-2. So I know we had to go through all that. I appreciate everybody's patience. Now, Jim, we're back to you. With the sheriff's resolution. With Peter's, that's right, with Peter's version as separated. Second substitute resolution. They had been separated out. So it's for 2011, the salary, it remains at the 2010 level. And that the subsequent 3 years, it rides with management if there are any increases. Is that understood? Kathy?
Although, strictly speaking, it's not a job description, it was given to us on the page as a job duty, and I believe that the participation in contract negotiations makes it very troublesome to tie percentage increases, if any, to the management group. Although I understand that the negotiations aren't directly for management, most of us sitting around the table understand there is a relationship, and I believe it poses a conflict to tie that salary increase, if any, to management group. So I'll be voting against this.
Leslin?
Chair, I just wanted recorded that my vote on both of these no vote is because of the tie to management group for both the clerk and the sheriff.
Jim?
I would agree with Kathy on that because the role of the sheriff, he's a co-employer. He has to go to the table and try to negotiate a contract with the county, with the legislature, with the deputies. So I would agree with Kathy on that.
Is there an alternative to modify this so that we can deal with this problem if that is what is contemplated? Carol?
Yeah, I just have a question about that point. Don't our other department heads negotiate contracts?
No. Do you want me to answer?
Yeah.
There are people, the county administrator, sometimes department heads are at the table, sometimes not. Clearly, the negotiating committee for the county will survey a department head and say, are there any changes you would like in a contract or not? But for the most part, they're not at the table. The only person that I've ever seen is Peter in this whole process because he's a co-employer.
And Anita Fitzpatrick and Joe are at the table.
Yeah, the county administrator and personnel, HR, and that duty is handed over to them.
Pam and then Frank.
Well, I don't have any problem with taking out the percentage increases, tying it to the management group. I think that, I think making some general statement about that, salary increases for 2012, 13, and 14 shall be considered as circumstances allow them to be. I mean, I
can't do that. That's not a legal possibility.
We need to set the salary for 4 years.
But we aren't setting their salary because we're saying that they're connected to these unknown increases of any in the future. We need to set their base salary, but to talk about, my understanding was that the increases that they're going to get, we're not talking about that bump that we were earlier talking about. These are just the cost of living or whatever it is increases that we are allowing, that we may be allowing at some point. So I do not think that that is in violation of the intent of that law to set the salary. We are setting the salary. We are just talking about there may be no increases, but there's the possibility of there being increases in the future, the rest of that 4-year period.
Jonathan?
Under law, you have to set the salary in advance. But the law does specifically allow you to tie it to other laborers in the organization. So you can do that. It's the one exception. You can't just leave it open because you can't change the salary over the term. Unless you want to go through a referendum, which is not realistically going to happen. So you have to set them in advance, but you can tie them if you want to. Management.
Can you tie them to cost of living or tie them to what do we want it to do in terms of the unemployment rate?
Well, for example, we tied ours to the unemployment rate.
Yeah, I mean. So,
but we can't have some vague as circumstances allow. We have to specify what the circumstances are at this point. I think, Frank, did you have your hand up?
Yes.
And Peter?
Could I offer a substitute?
Yes.
Some change in the wording. I want to go back to the wording in Jim's original resolve and perhaps clarify the wording in the resolve that's the second resolve that's up there. Resolve further that for 2012, 13, and 14, that the now I'm back to Jim's for this wording, that the salary for the position of sheriff for the years, again, 2012, 13, 14, shall, and I'm picking up at the end of Jim's wording, shall be tied to the schedule of increases for the management group during this 3-year period.
It's the same problem. That's the same thing that we have right there.
No, not quite. If indeed there's a concern about this wording in front of us as it may pertain to union negotiations, the wording, though similar in the original proposal that Jim put forward, should have been okay, and all this is a blend of that.
I'm sorry, Frank, I don't understand what the difference is.
If there was a concern, as Kathy has brought up, with regard to the wording in this proposed substitute, with regard to percentage increases for the management group, because that may tie into a concern regarding the unions, then I suggest we go back to the wording that Jim suggested on page 11 in the resolve that's on page 11 and amend that wording so that it reflects our intention for years 2012, 13, and 14. That it just be tied to a schedule of increases for the management group during this 3-year period. It doesn't say that it's the same as the percentage increase. It just says it's be tied to. And I think that was I'm reading it, so I know that's the wording that Jim had in his original.
Instead of the same as, to say tied to?
Yes.
That's actually the only change, am I right?
Well, I think so, and you have to change 4 years to 3 years, because 2011.
Well, wouldn't it be easy just to go back to Peter's and say that for 2012, 13, 14, the percentage salary increase for the sheriff shall be tied to the percentage increase, if any, for the management group?
That's fine.
Okay.
As long as we have the years in there, 12, right. 13, 14.
So is there a second for that amendment? It's a change in the language.
And
I don't see a second.
My rationale, if you give me a second, is that if the wording as Jim proposed it was okay and didn't offend the unions in the original proposal, this should not offend them either.
Well, I don't know if it offended the unions.
Tied to instead of the same.
Okay, that's been second. Peter.
Yeah, I'm not understanding this at all. if tied to means the same thing as the same as, then there's no point in making the change. The reason when I wrote this thing is I was concerned that tied to was not specific enough. And if it isn't specific enough, then it violates the our basic law that we have to set these salaries in advance. So I think that we ought to write something that can't be misinterpreted. So this notion of having something flexible by the word tied in is not the right thing to do in this. And let me, while I have the floor, let me say that I don't really see the problem. I know that when I was on the town board, with Will, we had the town board members' raise was the same as the raise of the staff, and nobody thought that there was a conflict of interest there. It just was too small an effect, and I'm willing to live with that apparent conflict of interest. I don't really think it would affect things very much.
I'd like to let Joe jump in here.
Just as a point of clarification, so everybody's clear on the negotiating role of the sheriff and understanding that everything is ultimately linked to everything. But in terms of the negotiations the sheriff is involved in, they're restricted only to the unions within his department. So it would be corrections and road patrol. Not involved in the management discussions. If management salaries are linked to any union, it's probably CSEA. That by policy, confidential employees get the same raise as CSEA. By custom, management employees often get the same increase that CSEA does. The sheriff is not involved in the negotiation of the CSEA contract either. So I just wanted to make it clear what his role in negotiations is.
Yes,
Frank. Well, then if indeed, just following up on what Joe's wording is, then the wording as it was originally proposed in this resolution should not offend anyone.
Would you like then to withdraw your amendment?
Well, I want to hear, Kathy and Jim were among the people that opposed it because of the union concern. Would you be on the same page then, based on what Joe just said, that it doesn't affect them?
I think you misunderstood. There's nothing about being offended. Rather, it has to do with when someone is sitting down negotiating, it would be inappropriate if in some way their negotiation for someone else's salary affected their salary. Now, what Joe just explained would alleviate some people's concerns.
Does it alleviate yours?
No.
Does it alleviate yours, Jim?
Yeah.
Okay, Brian has his hand up next.
Yeah, actually, I was involved in these exact same types of negotiations for many years, and actually my friend Jim was on the other side of the table, but the chief of police, part of their job description is they're not there as chief negotiators. They are a tool to assist the people that are negotiating, such as Joe. And they aren't tied at all. I mean, many, many times we had a raise package that looked nothing like the chiefs of police package. And we never raised that because they were always tied, similarly to this, they were always tied to upper city management, that just exactly like it is. And they are just a tool, a resource in negotiations. It's like apples and oranges, really.
Well, Madam Chair, based on the explanation Joe just gave, if it's okay with Carol.
I'm hoping this is what I want it to be, yeah.
I'm going to withdraw my suggestion and go back to the original wording.
Okay. Yes, Carol.
I was just going to ask if the wording at the same rate as would achieve, Frank. And I understand what
I don't
Frank
think that is
about.
At all the problem.
No,
the
I don't
problem
think that's
is
a problem,
there are bigger problems too.
All right.
Because the wording shouldn't stand in the way.
All right. With Joe's explanation, which I think is very helpful, and
thank
Brian's
you.
Concurrence, yes. I hope that we are ready to vote. I think the substance is what it is. What it is, with the same value, same salary for 2011 as for 2010, and for 2012, 13, and 14, to be the same as, tied to, whatever you want to call it, the management group.
Same as.
The same as. All ready to vote? This roll call?
Second vote will be a roll call.
This is the vote to make this the main motion. All in favor of this amendment becoming the main motion, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 opposed. 1, 2, 3, 3 opposed. 11-3. This is now the main motion.
Point of order, Madam Chair.
Yes.
Why was the last one a roll call vote and this one?
Because now we're voting on the motion. This was to substitute.
All right. Okay.
To amend.
Spending money.
Okay. The vote now is this as the main motion. Any questions? Kathy?
Ms. Pryor?
Yes.
Mr. Robinson?
Yes.
Mr. Stein?
Yes.
Mr. Burbank?
Yes.
Ms. Chalk?
Yes.
Mr. Dennis?
No.
Ms. Herrera?
No.
Ms. Keeper?
Yes.
Mr. Lane?
Yes.
Ms. McAsey?
Yes.
Mrs. McBean Claiborne?
No.
Mr. McKenna?
Yes.
Mr. Proto?
Yes.
Ms. Robertson?
Yes.
11 ayes, 3 noes.
All right.
Now we need
everybody to take something. A deep breath. No, we're not. We're just going to keep
just
going.
I'm just kidding, Martha.
All right. I appreciate all the thought that's gone into this. Everybody, use the other side. If you take these blank sheets home and use them in your printers. So, Jim, do you have any further report from the Budget Committee? Jim, was that a no?
No. I'm pretty much done.
All right. Thank you very much. Public Safety Committee. Jim, are you the vice? Who's the vice chair of Public Safety? What?
There is no report from the Public Safety Committee.
All right. Actually, they meet on Monday, right? Okay, great. WDIC, Leslie McBean Claiborne.
WDIC met on the 26th of May, and we spent a good chunk of our time talking about a proposal for a Strength and Diversity Award. You will get more information, as well as some time debriefing around the training that staff attended with the People's Institute for Change and Beyond, the Dayton Buildings training. There's another series to come. There's been some mixed reactions, and so we hope to do some follow-up with employees who attended so they can have more conversation on where do we go from here with this information. We've all received some disturbing, some, you know, you've left with your thoughts. So we held a discussion around that, and it is our hope that very soon the climate survey will be out. It's been vetted by just about everybody, and we're ready and in its 436th iteration. For it to be to go out. That's my report.
Any questions? Thank you, Leslie. Health and Human Services Committee, Frank Proto, Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The committee has not met since the last meeting. Our next meeting is the 9th of June, and we've already reported on the FMAP concerns, the health department impacts due to the state, and the concern that Joe raised regarding DSS. The two searches regarding the public health director, one regarding the public health director, the committee is going to come together again and hopefully move ahead with that search. We are beginning to put together the pieces for the youth services director, and we're trying to establish a meeting for that. With that, I will end my report. Just
thank
remember,
you, Frank.
It's the 9th.
Facilities and Infrastructure Committee, Julie Kiefer, Chair.
We meet this coming Friday at 9:30. We have what will be a busy agenda dealing with finding statement from the eminent domain hearing on Hanshaw Road and an update on solid waste management, solid waste and recycling center proposals. So.
Thank you, Julie. Any questions? Mike Lynn, Capital Plan Review Committee has not met since the last legislature meeting, so no report. Mike Lynn, Government Operations Committee.
We did meet on the 20th, and we met just before this meeting to consider resolutions. I'll abbreviate my report and just mention that we also had a subcommittee meeting, basically, of the broadband investigation group. And we will be circulating a one to two page document that will talk about the recommendations coming out of that group, and hopefully we'll have that for our next GO meeting to review.
Thank you.
Report
from that committee, is that what you meant? From that one meeting. You'll talk about it.
That's what we're talking about, yeah.
Thank you. You have G?
I have G, appropriation for contingent fund. Develop a smart work training program for Tompkins County departments. And I so move.
Second.
Julie second. Dave seconds. All right.
This resolution basically implements the smart work initiative that we've talked about for some time in several departments. And the money for that has been set aside in this year's budget.
Any other discussion? This is a roll call vote. Short form.
Ms. Pryor?
Yes.
Mr. Proto?
Yes.
Mr. Proto?
Yes.
Frank, that was a yes?
Reluctant yes.
Okay. Does anyone wish to be recorded as no? All right, that's unanimous. Anything else from GO?
Resolution, and I'm sorry, that's the one I already did. The next resolution is L, which we added.
Right.
Approving settlement agreement in Lakeside Nursing Home, Inc. for the bankruptcy proceeding. I so move.
Frank, second.
Wait, is there...
Carol?
Is there a corrected amount?
Yes. There's a typo in the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, where it says 388, it should be 338, 557, 20. To make it add up.
Okay. Kathy?
Just for the benefit of the public, could we get an explanation, especially since this was added? I think it's actually something to brag about.
Sure.
So.
Could I let Jonathan speak to it?
Sure. Okay. This is a settlement of the Lakeside Nursing Home bankruptcy proceeding. Lakeside Nursing Home did not pay their taxes, as it says in the resolution, from January 1, 2000 to May 2003. There were about $770,000 in taxes that were not paid. They went into bankruptcy, so there's been a long bankruptcy proceeding. Interest and penalties had gathered, bringing it to over $1 million. We were able to reach a settlement, which there weren't sufficient funds to pay for all the county taxes, but we were able to reach a settlement, which is very favorable. It gives the county $710,781.20. And one thing significant is this past week we already received $372,224, which was in the form of a grant. Federal money from New York State, and once this is approved, we should very soon, within a week or two, get another $338,551. So to come out with $710,000 is as certainly as good as we should have hoped to do, and $710,000 more than we had before.
Frank.
Jonathan, as I understand it, we've already made the Ithaca City School District and the town of Ithaca whole. They are not suffering.
Well, we made them whole. The issue was us being made, the county being made whole for paying them. And what we ended up paying them, we were out of pocket around $400,000 to $500,000. So we'll get all that back plus some.
We will get that back plus some. Thank you. That's where I was going.
Can I just say one thing that did come up at the meeting? and John spoke to was the fact that there just isn't any more money in this bankrupt pool.
Well, it is great that we've gotten what we've done, and it's finally settled. Anything else? Ready to vote? All in favor, please raise your hand. Any opposed? That's unanimous.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Planning, Development, and Environmental Quality Committee, Pam McAsee, Chair.
Wait, I have a... Before we finish government operations.
Okay. Carol, and then Julie.
Well, I'll yield. I guess I'd like something of a report to the rest of the legislature on the rest of the meeting that we had before this
sure.
meeting
you
and
want,
the concerns of the
was,
residents who appeared.
The Hurd Road project.
In our meeting, original GO meeting on the 20th, we reviewed the parcels in the sale, foreclosure sale. And there were two that were questioned and sent back to staff for additional review because of the location of wetlands on them. They came back to a special meeting because the sale is scheduled for the 15th of June. And we decided at the meeting this afternoon that those parcels would go into the sale and would be sold. There were some folks there that were concerned about the Hurd Road parcel in the town of Dryden because they live adjacent to that, and it had been an area that was supposed to be set aside for recreation or park purposes, and this private development in there had been apparently set up into a not-for-profit corporation, which whoever ran the not-for-profit did not fund the tax payments.
Excuse me.
So there was a question from some of the folks on the that came today as to whether we would hold it off for a year. I think the committee took the recommendation of administration and the planning department and decided to keep it in the sale. The property owners certainly have the option of purchasing the property at sale.
Yeah. I raised this because as part of this, I'm not sure what we ought to be doing in relation to this, but it became clear to me as part of the discussion that the county this year changed its process of notification to adjacent property owners to these foreclosures, such that they used to receive a notification with the address of nearby property, their adjacent properties that were going to be foreclosed. This year, they only received a postcard notification that there will be an auction of foreclosed properties, but nothing about the addresses, other than you can check a website. But if I received one of those in the mail, I would think, oh, well, I don't need to check the website. There's nothing, you know, that I've received about anything near my property. So my concern was that we changed the process, that the way in which we changed it didn't seem to have worked because we now have angry people at our meetings. And they, by the end of the meeting, brief meeting, were volunteering to pay the difference in property taxes for this upcoming year so that this property could be held out while it was resolved. And I guess I would still like to know if there is some process by which we can give these people some more time to work this out. I'm not proposing that we just turn over any property to them. I have no idea what the remedies would be, but it didn't seem to me to make sense to go ahead, and I thought we didn't devote the time to it that it deserves, given the change in process. So I'm not sure if there's a way for us to do anything about this in the next 2 weeks, but it would require our staff to do some work in the next 2 weeks.
Julie?
To figure it out.
Well, I was the one who, as Mike said, asked the two properties be looked at again by the planning department to see if we could protect the wetlands. And the planning department came back and said essentially they would not change their recommendation because it's expensive to the planning department to enforce easements, conservation easements. Subsequent to that, I went to the town of Dryden, where both of these parcels were located, and asked the environmental planner there if the town had any concerns about this, either of these parcels. And the discussion focused on the Herd Road parcels, which were called the Hauser development, which sold off a number of properties surrounding a 25-acre natural area in the middle of which there's a 1.1-acre national wetlands inventory wetland. So that's the property we're talking about. And what I learned back from the town of Dryden initially was, we're not sure there's a level of interest from the town to ask you to withhold the property. And that was followed a couple days later by a new email that said that the residents on Herd Road had expressed concern about the disposition of this property, that Henry Slater and Dan Kwasniewski are researching it, that it appears that all the lots from that subdivision have some rights to access that lot, for the sale property for recreation. And if the county were to auction off the lot without these issues being resolved, it could create a very difficult situation for the town and the neighboring residents, so that the environmental planner was asking the county to withhold this parcel from auction. Now, it costs the county to withhold property from auction. We have to keep making the town and the school district whole for taxes. And that was a real sticking point until, as Carol said, at the end of the meeting, Ed Olmsted is one of those property owners. He and his wife were there, and Paula Peter was there, another couple. And they both said, on behalf of all of the residents, they would cover the taxes for the county for this year if we would withhold it, pending clarification of their rights and how clear the sale could possibly be. Now, I know we sell things as quitclaim deeds. We make no claims about them. But I would like to make a motion before the legislature tonight that we withhold the Hauser property, the Herd Road property, from auction this year and take the residents up on their offer to cover the taxes. It won't cost the county any more. And get this cleared up one way or another. So that's my motion. I don't know if there's a second. I don't know if this legislature wants to talk about it. It's very late.
Jim seconds that.
No, I didn't.
Oh, Will seconds. All right. This is normally committee business. The legislature actually wasn't meant to come to the legislature. So
it did. It at committee it failed 3-2, 2-3, to withhold it. But I thought the circumstances were so unusual that it was, and Carol obviously felt that way.
For clarification, were they intending to pay the town and school taxes as well?
They said they would make the county whole. We didn't have a figure to tell them.
David?
Well, somebody, if the property sold, we would get the current year taxes at the auction for 2010, because that's collected. So, you know, we're going to get that regardless. If somebody bid a dollar for it, they'd have to pay the 2010 taxes. There's $7,500 of taxes in arrears that no one has volunteered to pay. To clarify, it's just so that I will personally send every parcel owner a copy of this tax map and say it's going to be sold on June the 15th, tomorrow. They have the opportunity to get a tremendous bargain if this property is so worthless because it's encumbered by all these restrictions. Somebody can get a wonderful deal, 25 acres for whatever they choose, if there's no value to it. You'd be setting a terrible precedent by deferring action on this.
Jim.
That's
going to
be my question. I want to hear what. Thank you, David.
Is there any further discussion? Pat, has your hand up?
With respect for both Carol and Dooley, I think the committee very, very carefully considered the points that Dooley and Carol have both made and thought very seriously about the residents and the impact on the residents, and the vote went as it did. There were three of us on the committee that opposed pulling this from the auction, and I think that at least for me, it did at least partially have to do with the fact that it seems to me that there is another option for the residents. Plus the fact that the notice that went out to the residents is not the only way that these properties are advertised. They're advertised publicly. Anybody that wants to know what's going to be auctioned can get that information because it is publicly noticed and it is available on the website. But it seems to me that the best option for the residents, rather than asking us to incur the cost of taking this off the auction this year, is for them as a group to come together and buy the property. They could buy the property for very, very little money at auction, and then they would own it. They could do whatever they wanted to with it. And although they would have to act fairly quickly, given, you know, the date of the auction is a couple weeks away, I think we all know that when a concerned group of people come together in a grassroots sort of way, that it doesn't take very long for an action to happen. And it just seems to me that that's the kind of action that would not only meet the needs of the residents, but also satisfy the needs of the county at the same time. And in the long run, I think it would be, they would be better off owning the property than having it sit there in limbo for another year.
Jim?
I'd like to call a question on this motion, please.
All right, and that was seconded by Will. All right, all those in favor of ending debate, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Opposed? 1, 2, 3. All right, the question is called. All those in favor of the motion to pull this off out of the auction, and let me get this right, with the understanding that the residents would pay the 2010 taxes, is that what your motion was?
What? Yeah, I think you have to add it to the agenda. Maybe.
You didn't say anything about the school, or all they said was the county.
Okay.
That's what we covered.
Jonathan says we need to...
The motion would be to add that to the agenda.
John said we need to add it to the agenda, which requires 10. So all those in favor of adding this to the agenda, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4. Opposed? Whatever that is left. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 10 opposed, so it's not on the agenda. I would like to say, if I can just step aside for a minute, I agree that there is a little bit of time, not much. I think I will say that this is my district. In fact, I was the one who told Paula Peter, did you know that this was happening? And I will have to say that with the fact that they understood that they had certain covenants and you know, agreements with that it was to remain, as they termed, forever wild, there would be no reason for them to be watching in the auction, you know, in the listing advertisements about auction properties. So I do hope that, you know, and David, you've been very good about working with landowners up to the very last minute. I would imagine there's some way that that they can find a solution that they need. So, all right. Anything else from GEO? Planning, Development, and Environmental Quality Committee, Pam Mackeson, Chair.
Yes, I'd actually like to combine my planning and census. But one thing that we Planning Committee is meeting tomorrow afternoon at 3:30. And what I would like to include from my census is something that Frank gave to me about a month ago, and I think it's very appropriate to end our meeting on this note. It's from the Old Mill, the Brookendale Community Newsletter, and this is information put together by Barbara Cohn, who's the town historian. And here's an item on the Caldwell, New Jersey, 1910, during the census. When a census enumerator asked Silas Green how many apple trees there are in the Green Farm, as required by the Census Department, Silas says, "I ain't quite sure." When asked why, Green insisted on taking the enumerator all over the farm to find out, and no mistake, just how many apple trees, plum, cherry, peach, and pear trees, cows and poultry and pigs, etc., there are on the place. The farmer counted all the trees and wanted to know if wild cider apple trees ought to be listed. "Only get 2 cents for these." "You bore me," growled the enumerator when a pig Silas was chasing ran between the census man's legs. "That reminds me of my old boar," exclaimed Green. "Put him in it too, mister." And then the farmer made the enumerator verify the count on chickens, ducks, and geese. "There'll be a few more in a few days," said Silas. "Will you wait?" The enumerator got on his bike and rode off with a gesture of disdain. That's my report.
Thank you very much, Pam. Do we have a motion on the minutes of the meeting?
Wait a minute, time out. Oh. We've got to do a resolution.
We have a resolution.
Oh,
I just asked you about that.
I'm so sorry. Jay, I.
Yes, true.
Resolution I.
That's I.
Adding parcel to Agriculture District number 2, west side of Cayuga Lake, and I so move.
Frank seconds. Any discussion?
Kathy. I read somewhere in the minutes that there was some discussion about absentee owner, or am I misunderstanding?
Kathy, Julie?
The owner has not yet moved to here. He owns the land. When he comes in a year and a half, he intends to turn it into a vineyard. But he's not here. The vineyard doesn't exist yet, and I just found it premature to add this to the district. So I asked it to be taken off consent last time so I could vote against it. I'll vote against it tonight for the same reason. It just seems premature.
And the question I have is, what's the drawback to including it in the district now? I don't understand what the ramifications are.
A lot can happen to someone near retirement in a year and a half. I don't want to wish him ill, but it may never happen. I would feel better having it in place.
Will and then Frank.
And we did vote on this last meeting. Why are we voting on
to have a public hearing?
We voted on the public hearing.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, Frank.
The reason that we'd like to add this in, this while the person is not here 100% of the time, there is development going on, and the village and the town of Ulysses and the village have been consulting. They're perfectly fine with having this go forward, so your concerns were addressed.
Thank you.
Jim.
At the first meeting of the chair committee that you're going to pull together at 4 o'clock before the next meeting, I just want to put something on the agenda. We need to have a discussion about how we can keep the meeting shorter than we have. That would be my first item on the agenda.
Not related to the ag parcel, right?
Right.
Kathy, but thank you very much, Matt. I appreciate that. Kathy.
Can I make a request to receive the materials that will be provided to the chairs at that meeting?
Can we vote on this resolution?
Sure.
Thank you.
Yes, absolutely. All right. Ready to vote on the resolution? Resolution aye. All in favor, please raise your hand.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Thank you.
One opposed. Okay. Is there a motion on the minutes of May 18th? Pat moves, Frank seconds. Any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Thank you. Motion to adjourn.
No executive session.
No executive session tonight.
No executive.